Hello, everybody, and welcome on in to a Tape Tuesday edition of Locked On Patriot. Mark Schofield in the big chair on this Tuesday, October 23rd, 2018. Got a locked and loaded show for you today. We're going to talk a little J.C. Jackson, put him under the microscope. A little bit later on the show, we're going to do some news and notes, talk about Sony Michel, Rob Gronkowski, Amari Cooper on the move, some interesting PFF numbers on the Chicago Bears New England Patriots game. We also got a listener request for our opening segment, which I'm really excited about. But before we dive into that, reminder to follow me on Twitter at Mark Schofield. Check out the work at places like InsideThePylon.com, Pro Football Weekly, The Score, Matt Waldman's Rookie Scouting Portfolio, Big Blue View, part of the SB Nation family of websites. As I said, though, we're going to start this off on our offensive tape portion of the show, offensive portion of the Tape Tuesday show, with an actual listener request. I love this. I absolutely love this. When somebody gets so hyped up about a Tape Tuesday show, about some of the odes that I've been doing, that they put in a request, I could not say no. And this comes to us from Canada, from our great friend Erica Prohl at Erica Holmes for you on Twitter. Excuse me, I think I get that wrong. I got to double check that. It's at Erica's, E-R-I-C-A-S, Holmes for you. The number for you on Twitter, and she put in a request. I think you need to do an ode to SweetFeet_White, who is James White on Twitter, this week. Can't wait to listen to the latest glorious victory episode of Locked On Patriots. Also on Pins and Needles, waiting for the news on Sony's knee, which we'll get to a little bit later. But Erica put in a request for an ode to James White, and how could I say no to that? You know, James White stepped up in a huge way for the New England Patriots on Sunday against the Chicago Bears, and so I'm going to dive into his film right now. And since Erica was kind enough to send in the request, it gives me a chance to say, look, if you want a similar type of situation, you want me to focus on somebody on this Tape Tuesday show, I am happy to do it. Just hit me up on Twitter at Mark Schofield or via the email machine, mark.schofield@insidethepylon.com. I will say that when the coach's tape comes out, you know, it's usually a pretty fun thing to do, to get through, you know, a rewatch of the game when you get to see everything from the two different angles, and it's always a lot of fun. Unless you have to watch the Soldier Field All 22. For those of you that might be active on Twitter, on football Twitter, you know, or the Locked On Patriots Slack channel, you probably have seen some references to how bad the quote unquote All 22 is from Soldier Field, from home games for the Bears. It's basically the broadcast tape. It's bad. It's really sort of hard to see things. It's barely different than the broadcast tape. When I was talking to Lauren Cox last week, the host of Locked On Bears, he was telling me that after Chicago's game against Tampa Bay, the Mitchell Trubisky 6-touchdown pass game, he found that somebody like sitting in the upper deck at Soldier Field was like tweeting out some videos of plays, and he said it was better from some random dude's iPhone. And that's true. I can completely understand why. So if you see on Twitter people griping about the Soldier Field All 22, there's a reason why. But let's dive into some SweetFeet White here. Cover him in the start. I want to talk opening drive. I talked in the Glorious Victory episode about the opening drive. They did some fantastic things. There was a play of 1st and 10. New England has the ball at the Chicago 44 at the 13:42 mark. And they run this little slip screen to White, where he's in the backfield next to Brady, who's in the shotgun, and he simply is going to sort of release to the left, not even get that far away from Brady, and you've got guys pulling in front of him. It's sort of that slip screen design. But what I loved about this play, and it's something the Patriots did often, and I didn't notice it watching the broadcast game live or rewatching it later Sunday night, he fakes a chip on Khalil Mack. Now, Mack is aligned in that sort of wide nine alignment, well outside left tackle Trent Brown. And obviously, White's behind Trent Brown. So when White starts the play, he starts to square up on Mack. Mack is rushing to the outside. White starts to square up on him and lunges at him for just a second, like he's going to chip him. And that sort of forces Mack away a bit and more into the path of Trent Brown. It's just this subtle little move. I saw it on this play, and then you started to see it throughout the course of the game. They were showing this little like fake chip on Mack to get him more into the body of Trent Brown. And then from there, he just gets you know, picks up a block from Joe Thuney, picks up a block from David Andrews, and he's off for a 14-yard gain. It's just a simple little play, but I love the way it came together. Second quarter, 9:03 mark of the second quarter, the Patriots, you know, this is as they're coming out of that sort of, you know, they had gotten the Patterson return for the touchdown, so they're starting to get back into the flow of the game. They face a 3rd and 4, though, on their latest possession. You know, they're still trailing 17-14. They come up with that two running back look where they have White on one side, they have Kenyon Barner on the other, and both running backs sort of chip and release. So they sort of like chip to the edges and then run that little sort of curl route. And White is wide open. And this is one of those plays we're going to talk about a little bit later where they drop Khalil Mack into coverage over Barner, but they've also got, you know, a safety, excuse me, a corner who's down in the slot over Edelman. Edelman releases vertically. That pulls away that player for a second because it's a zone coverage look. And as that defender drops, number 37 on the Bears, in response to Edelman's vertical release, that creates space underneath. And so with Mack dropping over Kenyon Barner and nothing to influence him in this zone coverage look, the release by Edelman creates a vertical threat that underneath defender number 37 has to carry for a bit, freeing up space for James White. And what was interesting about that play, they returned to it later in the game in the fourth quarter, as we're going to talk about. Let's talk about his first touchdown pass, first touchdown reception. And when I watched it again live and on the broadcast angle, yeah, I didn't really get the full appreciation for how the Patriots got White open here. And this is an example of them creating mismatches as an offense because they come out, it's 3rd and 5, 3rd and goal at the 5-yard line. They have a 2-by-2 formation where they've got both Dorsett and Hogan split wide to the right. Hogan comes in sort of short motion. By doing that, they force defensive backs to the outside. When I first saw this play live and then sort of on the rewatch again, I don't know if the broadcast angle sort of cut it out or what, but when I first saw it, it looked like they were sort of in a Y ISO type situation where there wasn't really a threat to the outside. It's more creative what McDaniels does here, because by having those two receivers to the outside, you force them to sort of put corners to the outside, linebacker matched up aligned across from White pre-snap, and that's exactly what happens. But what McDaniels does then, brings both Dorsett and Hogan on routes over the middle, and White runs an option route. So now those guys come to the inside. It pulls those cornerbacks towards the middle of the field. And now White has this option route against Leonard Floyd, a linebacker, the mismatch they want to exploit. And the entire outside is now clear. So by the formation and the personnel, McDaniels dictates to the Bears, you might have to put some corners out there. That's what they do. He then brings them over to the middle of the field. And by putting those guys outside, you get White matched up on Floyd in that sort of mismatch situation. This is an offense that wants to create and exploit mismatches. And that's exactly what they do here. Now, White has the entire outside free and clear, a lot of green grass, puts a great move on Leonard Floyd. Easy throw, easy catch, touchdown. Speaking of Floyd, he dropped into coverage a lot, as we're going to talk about in a minute. They got him again in the third quarter at the 10:24 mark. It's another third down situation. They would look to James White on a lot of third downs. We've already talked about two. Here's another one. This is a 3rd and 2 at the Chicago 24-yard line. It's another sort of 2-by-2 formation. Actually, no, this is a 3-by-1 bunch. But again, you've got James Gordon as the single receiver to the right, James White in the backfield next to Brady, who's in the shotgun, again to the right. So you've got Gordon outside, James White there. You're not going to put the corner over James White. You're going to get him matched up again on the linebacker. That's exactly what happens. Now, Gordon runs a slant route, and this is sort of a follow concept. Gordon runs that slant route from the outside, work it over the middle, brings the corner back with him. White releases to the outside. Typically what you see when you see that outside receiver come inside on the slant and that running back release to the outside, you typically expect what? Slant flat, right? Slant route from the outside guy, flat route from the inside guy. Floyd sees that, starts to widen, expecting that route to the flat. White just hits the brakes, cuts on a dime, and then breaks back on that angle route. So instead of it being slant flat, it's more of a follow concept where he's following Gordon's path. Floyd's expecting him to go to the outside. Instead, he comes inside, gets easy separation. Such a quick, easy throw for Brady. Easy throw, easy catch, 8-yard gain, and they get first and 10 at the Chicago 16. Just a beautiful design and an example of an offense showing you one look, giving you something on film, and then playing to what you anticipate as a defender. Because Floyd just widens and almost starts to turn and run to the flat like he's going to run with him on a flat route. And that's when White anticipates it so well and breaks to the inside. Fourth quarter, 11:56 mark. We return to that two running back design we started with for another third down conversion. It's a 3rd-and-2 New England on their own 12. You know, and this is a situation where you've got the 31-24 lead. You know, you're backed up early fourth quarter. You'd love a nice drive here to put some points on the board and sort of try to salt this game away. You go to that two running back look again. Once more, White's wide open on that sort of curl route. This time, he's running it more towards Khalil Mack's side. But Mack comes on the blitz. What does he do? He sort of fakes that little chip again. Doesn't chip him, but it's enough to get Mack off of his track into the body of Trent Brown. And then he releases on that little circle route. Easy throw, easy catch. 8-yard gain. Another first down for the Patriots. Finally, fourth quarter, 2:45 mark. The Patriots would go on and score on that drive that we just talked about. But at the 2:45 mark, now you're talking, we need to run the ball a bit. We need to work some clock here. We need to, if nothing else, if we can't fully salt this game away, we got to make sure they burn the rest of their timeouts. My favorite run of White's during this sequence is a 1st and 10 at Chicago's 48-yard line. They line up with Brady under center, White as the single back, bunch look to the right, with Dwayne Allen. They run a little crack toss type play here. Allen comes in short motion. He cracks the defensive end. Adrian Waddle, he pulls, tries to get in front of this. Now what happens is there's a defender that runs with Waddle. Waddle's trying to get the edge, but the defender does a great job of setting the edge. And White faces a decision. He can either bounce it to the outside of him and give up some ground in the process, or just cut it immediately upfield and get what he can. And that's exactly what it does. It's a great split-second read and decision from White, something you might expect from more, you know, experienced running backs in terms of getting carries. White's used more as a receiver. But this was a great move by him, because if you bounce it, you might get strung out. You might lose yardage. You might end up going out of bounds. Instead, what he does, he cuts inside, gets north-south, ends up picking 8 yards. You get down inbounds. You get tackled inbounds. You force the Chicago to burn their second timeout. So just a tremendous, tremendous play from White. And it was so much fun to go back with this All-22. As bad as the Soldier Field, Chicago Bears All-22 is, and get a, you know, another look at James White. So, you know, huge shout out to Erica for the suggestion. Again, give her a follow on Twitter at Erica's Homes for You. And for all of you listeners to the show, if you've got somebody you want to revisit, if you're seeing something on Sunday during a game or after next Monday night's game, and you're like, yeah, man, I want to go into that a little bit more, hit me up on Twitter at Mark Scofield. Always happy to, you know, serve the listeners, because as I've said, this is your show. I'm just currently keeping the big chair warm. Up next, we're going to talk about J.C. Jackson. I was curious to go back and look at the day that he had. Some good, some bad, including some stuff that you probably missed on the broadcast tape without the chance to see it sort of all coming together on the Soldier Field All-22. That's ahead, but first, I want to remind everybody about our great friends over at Swap.com. And listen, isn't it crazy how much we pay for new brand name clothes? Why do we buy new kids' clothes all the time when they're just going to outgrow them in the next couple of weeks? My son is going through. We got him his Carson Wentz costume. It's ready to go. It's all put together. I'm worried he's going to outgrow it by the time Halloween rolls around. Wouldn't it be great if there was a place to discover awesome discounts on gently used clothes? There is at Swap.com. Stop driving to store after store, sifting through racks. You can easily sift through millions of clothes in seconds on Swap.com with easy-to-use filters to find just what you need. They have over 14 million tons of textiles are wasted each year. Shopping secondhand at Swap.com helps prevent textile waste from polluting the environment, which is something you can feel good about too. So with Swap.com, you can save up to 90% off retail price on your favorite brands, such as Carter's, Nike, J.Crew, and Gap. If something doesn't fit, you can enjoy hassle-free returns within 30 days. Their items are quality, hand-inspected, and they're added daily. Swap.com is the world's largest consignment and thrift store online. They have a special offer for Locked On Patriots listeners. You get 35% off select items for your first order with promo code Locked On. Plus, you can find new deals every day on Swap.com's homepage. So check them out. Use that promo code LOCKEDON when you do. Mark Schofield back with you on this Tape Tuesday installment of Locked On Patriots. And switching gears to the defensive side of the ball, I'm going to quickly talk about some J.C. Jackson stuff. And I was very curious. I know I talked about it in the Glorious Victory Edition episode of Locked On Patriots, sort of his competitive toughness, battling through some mistakes, some mishaps, some penalties, and working back, getting the interception. I wanted to take another look at his game because sometimes, you know, when you're talking about defensive backs, you might miss some stuff on the broadcast angle. Now, again, we're working with the Soldier Field All-22, so it's not quite pristine, but I still came away impressed at times with what Jackson was able to do in coverage, including being into some bad situations, which we're going to talk about. Now, let's go to the second quarter. This is the 12-18 mark. This is the play right after he was flagged for that illegal use of hands. That was not called. It was called, but it was declined because it was a 4th-and-4 play, a pass over the middle to Trey Burton. He was flagged for the illegal use of hands. This is where they get him sort of matched on the outside in man coverage against Anthony Miller, and he has to trail him across the formation in motion. Miller aligns on the left. He comes in motion all the way from left to right, and he has to trail him. And what happens is you get a vertical release from the inside receiver and then a post route from the outside receiver. The inside receiver ends up breaking over the middle, and that pulls the safety down. So now J.C. Jackson has no help. They run sort of a mini Mills concept with a dig and a post. And Jackson has no help to the middle of the field because Devin McCourty now has to break down on that dig route. Patriots look to be in basically a man, almost a zero man look with an underneath hold defender because they bring some pressure. And Jackson gets beat. This should be a touchdown. Trubisky kind of just throws it too high. Miller gets up asking for that ball to be down. He was like, you know, definitively, demonstratively pointing towards the ground. He wants that throw to be much lower from Trubisky. So Jackson gets beat there. A little bit later in the drive, you get another illegal use of hands penalty on him. That was the play where they throw the fade route to Kevin White. And again, watching this play, I'm not so sure about this one. He tries to jam him, and I don't know if that's what they really called was the initial jam, because his initial jam on him is a bit high. This is a 3rd-and-5 at the 11-18 mark. And when White goes to release off the line of scrimmage, you know, Jackson's first move is to jam him. And it does look like he gets a little bit of the face there. Then there's some hand check and he goes up again and he might clip his chin again. But, you know, I really think that this was pretty good coverage. I wasn't sure that this should have been flagged. Let's go second quarter, 1:54 mark of the second quarter. This is where he's covering a bunch concept here. The Bears line up. They've got a three-receiver bunch to the left. They empty the backfield. They've got two receivers to the right, three-receiver bunch to the left. He ends up covering a corner route here from Anthony Miller, and he stays with it stride for stride. This is a spot concept. You've got a flat route, sort of that snag, that little like slant and sit route, and then the deep route on that concept is the corner. But he's with it step for step, right in his back pocket. Terrific coverage. This is a play where Trubisky actually ends up going to the right, throws a vertical route to Tariq Cohen that goes out of bounds, and they're forced to punt. But I thought this was tremendous coverage here from J.C. Jackson. One of those plays that you don't get to see because the ball goes elsewhere. But sometimes when you're studying defensive backs, when you get that, you know, full all 22 angle, you're going to see the times when the ball's not thrown in his direction and what he's doing. I thought that was a great play from him. Let's go to another play. This is that double move from Taylor Gabriel that he gets flagged for defensive pass interference on. And happening live, I did notice it live. I jotted it down. I didn't really talk about it too much on the Glorious Victory episode, so I wanted to make sure I revisited this play. And I'm completely fine with the penalty he draws here. Patriots are in a cover two look, basically end up running cover four where he's not expecting any help deep or anything like that. So he's got to really sort of be wary on vertical routes, on double moves. He sees the stutter, he breaks on it, and he knows he gets beat. as he's breaking down and Taylor Gabriel starts vertically again, he knows he's beat. So what does he do? He grabs him. And you can tell it's a conscious decision by him to grab him to basically impede his progress. And I'm fine with it because I'd rather him get flagged for a DPI than have him give up six. So I'm actually okay with it. I'm completely fine with it. And, you know, I think that was actually a good, smart heads-up play. That's a veteran-savvy move where you know you beat, draw the DPI. You know, give up the spot foul. You know, it's a 16-yard penalty. If he doesn't and he just tries to play it straight there, he might not recover. And if Trubisky actually hits it, you're giving up six. So rather, you know, give up the 16 yards. You know, I'm completely fine with him giving that up because you know what happens? They have to try to punt. And you know what happens on that punt? It's blocked in return for a touchdown. And so it's the process that you're worried about. It's the process you're concerned with. I'm fine with the process, and it led to a great result here. So I'm completely fine with him committing that penalty. Let's talk briefly now about the interception, which I thought was a good play live. It was even better sort of watching it in the moment. This comes in the third quarter at about the 3:47 mark. On the previous play, Trubisky tries to hit Anthony Miller up the seam with Eric Rowe in coverage. Rowe is beat. This was a bad throw. And when the play ends, Rowe is immediately signaling to the sideline that he's hurt, that he needs somebody to come in. And so in comes J.C. Jackson, who was not on the field on the previous down. Now, he might have been coming in anyway, you know, with a 3rd and 10 situation. You might bring extra defensive backs in. And he gets matched up against Miller again on the outside. Actually, excuse me, he's matched up against Josh Bellamy. Doesn't even have the mouthpiece in. I mean, he's just basically running off the field, running in, wasn't expecting to be there because of the Rowe injury. And it's one of those scramble drill situations. Bellamy runs a vertical route. He stays with him, has great feel for him. And when Trubisky breaks the pocket, he does a great job maintaining contact with the receiver because now Bellamy is working back towards him. He breaks with him. He's step for step with him. Trubisky throws that sort of 50-50 ball, and it's an effort play from there because it's a low throw. Receiver probably has the advantage given where, you know, the throw is placed and that he's working back towards the ball, but he's with him step for step and just makes the play, rips it away from him, a tremendous effort play. And so obviously I wanted to sort of finish there. I thought overall I was pretty impressed with what he did. And again, you have two penalties on a drive, those two illegal use of hands penalties, but he comes back, he battles back, you know, commits the defensive pass interference, which I think was a heady play. And I'm completely fine with how he handled himself this afternoon. And so, you know, just wanted to break down his game quickly. Up next, we're going to talk, like I said, we got some news on Sony Michel. We got some news on Gronkowski. Amari Cooper gets traded. Some PFF numbers. That's ahead on this Tape Tuesday installment of Locked On Patriots. But first, look, friends, we got games going on tonight. As I'm sitting here right now, Atlanta and New York are set to go. We've got a Thursday nighter with the Texans. You know, they're going to get set to battle on Thursday night. We've got college football action. You've been listening to shows like this and some of those shows on the Locked On Podcast Network. You might think you've got a good idea for an angle on a game. That's great because who you're betting on, it's important. Where you're betting, more important. That's why I always tell everybody, go to MyBookie. Trust me, guys and girls, they're your best bet this season. They've been in business for years. They have great reviews online, and their mobile site is so easy to use. So lay down some cash and win big today. Now, I would only recommend a service to my listeners that's been good to me, and that's why I'm urging you to make your way to MyBookie. You win, they pay. They have in-game, live betting, the most rewarding player perks in the business. And for you fantasy men and women out there, you can bet the over-under on how many fantasy points a player will score each game. So join now. In MyBookie, you will match your deposit dollar for dollar, 100% up to $1,000, up to $1,000 for first-time deposits. Use promo code LOCKEDON to activate that offer. Visit MyBookie online today. That's MyBookie. And don't forget to use promo code LOCKEDON when creating your account to claim the bonus. MyBookie. You play, you win, you get paid. Mark Schofield back with you now to quickly close out this Tape Tuesday installment of Locked On Patriots. Going to do some news and notes here. First, got some good news on Sony Michel. According to Adam Schefter, among others, the MRI on Patriots Sony Michel revealed no structural damage per source. Michel will be considered week to week per source. Best case scenario for Michel and the Patriots. Ian Rappaport, sort of in that same vein, the running back's knee injury is not considered serious, fall on the MRI. His timetable isn't clear, but this is pretty good news for their impressive rookie runner. He could still miss time, but if he does, it may not be much. So good news on the injury front from Sony Michel. Also some good news of a sort with the injury front and Rob Gronkowski. According to Michael Giardi, formerly of NBC's Comcast in New England, now with the NFL Network, he reported that Gronkowski suffered from severe back spasms on Friday. That was the sort of injury that put him on the injury list and put him on the injury report, made it so he couldn't go on Sunday. But they don't expect it to be a long-term thing or anything like that. So with an extra day, he's been shut down over the weekend or so, I'd expect to see him, if things return to form, back in the lineup on Monday night. Also, we're starting to see some trades getting made. The big one, obviously, Amari Cooper, talented wide receiver from Alabama. He gets sent to the Dallas Cowboys for a first-round pick. And if you remember when I talked about some potential trades that the Patriots might have made, I put Amari Cooper on that list, and I said, look, for a second-rounder, I'd totally be fine with it. Instead, they got Dallas to bite on a first-round pick. And what's interesting about that, Benjamin Albright, is definitely worth a follow on Twitter. He pointed out that according to some of the information and the sources that he has, they were bidding against themselves, Dallas was. No other team was offering anything more than a third rounder. And so it looked like Dallas maybe offered too much. Who knows? We'll wait to see. But that's a team that was in serious need of some, help at the wide receiver position. And wide receiver is a question mark in the next draft. You can listen to Locked On NFL Draft, Trevor Sikkema, John Ledyard. They would tell you next wide receiver group got some question marks to it. Dane Brugler over at The Athletic, for example, he's got his top 50 big board right now. You don't see any wide receivers on there, I don't think. He was talking about that Dallas Cowboys trade and saying, look, this next wide receiver class, a lot of question marks. So maybe Dallas looked ahead, said, look, we're not going to find anybody better. They're waiting on Michael Gallup to become what they hope he can be. In the meantime, they want to be competitive in that NFC East. They needed to make a move, and so they did that. Let's talk about now this Bears-Patriots game from a PFF perspective. They had some interesting numbers. For example, New England blitzed Mitchell Trubisky on 21 of his 58 drops on Sunday. Trubisky, when pressured, was 5 of 20. For 36 yards and a touchdown when he was pressured. By contrast, he completed 70% of his passes for 9.9 yards per attempt when he was not pressured. So that might have played into how that game ended up turning out. Chicago just had 2 drops in the game. A lot of people pointed to the figures, the wide receivers. According to PFF's charting, they just had 2 drops. But on the flip side, Trubisky, only 64.4% of his passes were deemed catchable. Other thing to consider, Khalil Mack, I talked about a couple times him dropping into coverage when we're going through James White, how he wasn't much of a factor. He was dropped into coverage 18 times, a career high for him. And you want to talk about that offensive line? 2 pressures on 16 rushes. Leonard Floyd, 13 coverage snaps for him, also a high number for him. And just 0 pressures on 13 rushes. So I thought those were some interesting PFF numbers to point out to you. Finally, looking ahead now, it is now October 23rd. We are officially, and this is more of a non-football note here. This is more of a real-world note. We are officially 2 weeks away, from midterm elections here in the United States. And there are places that are voted right now as we speak, down in Texas, down in Florida, and other places. Maybe you live in a state where you can vote early. If so, do it. Get it done. I know this is a football show. It is not a news show. It is not a politics show, although there have been times, Parkland, for example, when I've talked about some real world things because I just felt like I needed to. And for those of you that appreciated that and reached out, great. For those of you that might have been turned off by it, I do apologize. Sometimes life just takes on something bigger outside of football. We are 2 weeks away from midterms, and I'm not going to sit here and pontificate about who you should vote for, what you should vote for, what referendums you should vote for, or anything like that. If you do want to know about my political leanings, they're probably not too hard to find. You can probably piece them together pretty easily. But I will say this. I just want you to go vote. I want you to get involved, to be involved, and to be part of the process. Maybe there's a referendum. Maybe there's a local candidate. Maybe there's something that you believe in. Maybe you're happy with the way things are going. If so, great. Go make sure that it continues that way if that's what you believe in. If you're not happy with, then go vote. Go get involved. Be part of the process, because we are so lucky to live in this country where every couple of years we get a chance to have what some have called a peaceful revolution, a nonviolent revolution, where we get to choose our leaders. But the people that choose them are the people that show up. And so we're 2 weeks out. Make a plan, bring some friends, go vote, get it done, vote early if you can, and then be part of this great American experiment. And I'm going to keep reminding you, I'm going to keep telling you, I'm going to keep harping on it, that I want you guys to go out there and vote. If you want to have a little extra incentive, if you want a little shout out on Twitter, show me that little I voted sticker. Tweet it to me, at Mark Schofield. If you vote early, show me you at the voting station, getting that sticker, mailing in your ballot, whatever you want to do, at Mark Schofield on Twitter. I'll happily retweet it. Again, I just want you to go vote. I want you to be part of the process. Voter apathy, more than anything, is one of the more frustrating things to see the older I get, where, you know, 20% of people vote, 30% of people vote, you know, in presidential elections. You know, you see other countries where it's, you know, 60, 70, 80, 90% of the people. You gotta go do your part. It's just an hour out of your day. Maybe it's more depending on where you live. Vote, then vote early if you can. But go vote. I'm going to keep reminding you about it. We're 2 weeks out from the midterms now. If you want to show me proof, if you want a little shout out on social media, get some people to follow you, tweet me your pictures, at Mark Schofield, show me the sticker, show me whatever. Happy to retweet it. Spread the news. Get out there and vote. Get it done. And then plus, you know, here's the thing about voting. If you don't, and you don't like the way things are, can't really gripe too much because you didn't vote. If you vote, you at least get to, you know, say, look, I voted. You know, I voted for Toto. Little Simpsons joke there. Kang, Toto, whatever. Regardless, go vote, get it done, make me happy, show me the pictures, at Mark Schofield on Twitter. I'm going to keep reminding you guys and girls out there to go do it. That will do it for today. I will be back Wednesday, the crossover show. You know, Thursday, we're going to do Take Thursday, some takes from the timeline, get in some questions, at Mark Schofield on Twitter. Football, Toto, life, whatever, law, you know, cooking, whatever you want me to talk about, happy to do it, at Mark Schofield on Twitter, mark.schofield at insidethepylon.com. Friday, it's going to be a little bit different since the Patriots are playing on Monday. Friday's not going to be your game day show. Piecing together what I might do for that episode. And then, look, we'll be back. Monday will be your game day edition. And then tape Tuesday slash hopefully a glorious victory edition of Locked On Patriots. So that's the plan for the next couple of days. Oh, and of course, Sunday morning tailgate. Although, you know, the schedule is going to be a little bit different, but I'll get you guys something. Go vote. That will do it for today. I will be back tomorrow. Until then, keep it locked right here to me, Mark Schofield, and Locked On Patriots.